earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Church, are you ready this morning? Today we continue the series, Teach Us How to Pray, and the subtitle for today's message is Three Great Rules for Prayer. Now, prayer is one of the greatest privileges given to us as believers. Amen? Do we really believe that this morning? Gets a little quiet. That's okay. See, prayer is a direct line of communication with the Creator of the universe, our Heavenly Father. And yet, too many believers today struggle with how to pray effectively. We might wonder if God hears us. We might wonder if our prayers matter, or even if we're approaching God in the right way. And last week, we examined the wrong and the right motive for prayer. And we should all know that when we pray, our motive matters. Amen? So Jesus, in his wisdom and his love, he has provided us with clear guidance on how to pray in a way that pleases God and draws us closer to him. And so today, we will explore three great rules that Jesus teaches us about prayer. So in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says this, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." Hallelujah. See, in Jesus' teaching here in Matthew, it naturally leads us to three guiding principles for prayer. And from this, we can draw three essential rules for meaningful prayer, and they are the following. Rule number one, do not use empty repetition. Rule number two, do not speak much. And rule number three, trust God. If we truly follow Jesus' teaching on prayer, it will draw us into a deeper, more trusting relationship with God. A relationship that values honest communication over ritualistic practices. And so the first great rule of prayer is striking. Do not use empty repetition. And the Greek word used here in Matthew is for vain means to babble much, to use many phrases to say idle things or to say meaningless things. And vain repetition can be understood in two important ways. First, it is when we repeat the same words over and over again without engaging our hearts or our minds, speaking without truly meaning what we say. And second, it's when we rely on certain religious words or phrases, thinking that simply using them, especially when repeated, will make God listen. See, true prayer isn't about how many words we say or how spiritual those words sound. It's about speaking sincerely from the heart, trusting that God hears us because of our relationship with him, not because of our words. Amen? And there are several things that we can do that may lead us into empty repetition. And the first is memorized prayer. Just saying the words of a form prayer, for example, the Lord's Prayer, can lead us into vain repetition. And now there is nothing wrong with a memorized prayer, but it should be prayed through and not just repeated with no thought behind the words. And when you pray these memorized prayers, consider the words you are praying. Don't simply recite something so that you can say that you spent some time in prayer. Amen? Amen. The next thing is well-written, well-worded prayers. thinking that what we say is so expressive and so well-worded, it is bound to carry weight with God. The words may be descriptive and beautifully arranged, but the heart must be offering the prayer, not just the mind and the ego. Without genuine sincerity, even the most eloquent prayer becomes nothing more than empty repetition. Then we have ritual prayer, saying the same prayer at the same time, on the same occasion, over and over and over again. Church, wouldn't you agree that our needs change day to day? And if our needs change, then our prayers need to change. Amen? Then there's formal worship. Praying in the same way on a rigid schedule can lead to praying by habit or repeated practices with little or no meaning to it. This is a danger we face in our worship service, that we get so locked in on how we pray on Sunday morning that we pray just to say that we prayed. And yet prayer is one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, that we can do as a gathered body of believers. Amen? And then there's thoughtless prayer, speaking words while our minds are off wandering somewhere else, thinking about the next thing we must accomplish. And if your mind is wandering, church, it is better that you stop praying than to pray vain, that vain repetition, and to pray insincerely. And then there's using religious words or phrases, using certain words or phrases over and over in prayer just because they're religious sounding. Some people, when they pray, they want to sound like they have their doctorate in theology and have no idea what they're saying. They just picked up a couple of phrases in some theology book. And then there are the habitual references to God, using such empty repetition as Lord this and Lord that and Lord here and Lord there and Lord, Lord, Lord. Do we ever get tired of the Lord sandwich? How little thought is really given to approaching Him whose name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen? Adonai, Elohim, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, and the list goes on and on and on. Learn the name of God so that when you pray to Him, that you understand what you're praying for and to who you're praying to. Now, there are several things that can keep us from using empty repetition in prayer. And the first is a genuine heart. Really knowing God personally and having a moment-by-moment fellowship with Him all day long. A genuine heart helps us from having a low view of God. For you see, church, our view of God matters. Then there's thought and concentration. When we pray, we must focus on what we are saying. Amen? And then there's a desire for fellowship with God. Praying sincerely, really meaning it with sincerity. As believers, children of the Most High, we all need to have a desire to fellowship with our Father in heaven daily. And then preparation. By first meditating in God's Word, we prepare ourselves for prayer. And before exploring further, I would like to highlight a few things and important points regarding vain repetition. Christ does not condemn repetition in prayer because repetition itself is not inherently wrong. We get that? What is wrong, however, is when repetition is vain. It's empty, meaningless, or simply foolish. In fact, if we examine the life of Christ, we will see that Christ used repetition in His prayers. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 44, it says this, "So He left them, He went away, and prayed the third time, saying the same words." The prophet Daniel used repetition in prayer. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 18 and 19, "Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name." The psalmist also used repetition in prayer. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to God, to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever." Hallelujah. One of the major problems with the praying of believers, simply stated, is they simply do not pray enough. And another major problem when the believer prays is their prayers are often vain, empty, thoughtless, meaningless, and repetitive. Too often a believer prays and does not concentrate. Their minds wander somewhere else and they simply mouth the words. We begin praying and we start thinking about, what are we going to have for dinner? What about that work project I haven't gotten done? The kids are going to need my help with their homework. I haven't heard from my son or my daughter in forever. And our minds wander. And such thoughtless and meaningless prayer is often seen in public prayer and in the powerlessness of believers today. So let me ask you a question. Are your prayers being answered? If not, perhaps that is because you're praying thoughtlessly and meaninglessly. But there is one sure way to prepare our hearts for prayer, and that is meditating in God's Word. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tell us this. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work," and this includes our prayer lives. Amen? You see, it is in the Scripture that the believer learns about God, themselves, the world, and the nature and truth of all things. It is the Spirit of God who takes the Word of God, moves upon the believer's heart, revealing what the believer should pray for. Therefore, the believer being stirred to prayer for whatever the Word of God and the Spirit of God has shown them. John chapter 16, verse 12 through 15 tell us this. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So church, repetition in prayer is dull, and vain repetition is tragic. Empty repetition affects our worship, our interest, and our attendance in services. Prayer should be one of the most meaningful experiences in the life and in the worship service. Amen? So let me ask you an additional question. Is your prayer life today meaningful? As I stated last week, if your answer to that question is no, or any of these questions I ask you about prayer, the good news is you can start to change today. Amen? See, God is certainly willing to meet the believer in a very special way, any time and any place. And yet, so many hearts remain barren. They remain hardened and complacent, neglecting the vital practice of prayer. The prayers of many believers often consist of repetitively reciting the same phrases, such as, "Bless mom and dad," "Help us have a good day tomorrow." And these phrases go on and on without a deeper reflection or seeking a meaningful connection with our Heavenly Father. And such empty repetition not only grieves the heart of the committed, but it also distances us from God, turning Him away from our insincere petitions. And this truth is vividly echoed in Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, where Jesus rebukes empty worship, quoting Isaiah's powerful words, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Let us not pray hypocritically. So the second great rule of prayer is an eye-opener. Do not speak much. Too many that we pray, the more that God will listen to us. And sometimes they think that by praying these long prayers that we're showing God our sincerity, and by doing so, the more spiritual we will become. But the shortest prayer in the Bible and one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible were three simple words: "Lord, save me." See, God does not hear a person's prayer because it is long, but because their heart is being genuinely poured out to Him. Length has nothing to do with devotion, but a sincere heart does. And I want you to understand that long prayers are not forbidden. But if our prayers are going to be long, we must follow the examples that we find in Scripture. In fact, we are instructed to pray without ceasing. We see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Amen? Amen. The Scripture tells us that Christ prayed all night long. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12. "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." The early disciples, they prayed and fasted and sought God for 10 days and nights, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost had finally come, they were with one accord in one place." Meaning that they were praying together in one accord. See, a believer should sense the needs of the world so much that they are driven to seek God and His intervention for long periods of time, and the seeking should be often. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." And yet, why do some people pray long prayers for the wrong reasons? As I stated, some people feel that their long prayers can convince God. And this kind of believer feels that God must be moved, nudged, or stirred to hear them. Some feel they need long prayers to explain the situation. They feel that God needs to be informed and needs to understand a particular situation and how it has affected them. Some feel that long prayers make them more spiritual, more mature, and more devoted. And some feel that long prayers are just demanded of the believer. They feel as if it were expected, that it was the religious or godly thing to do. Some feel that their long prayers show God their sincerity, and they secure God's approval by praying those long prayers. Some feel that their long prayers impress people, and they show people how deeply spiritual they are. So what can be done to prevent the issue of vanity that arises from our long prayers? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2 teaches us this. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Amen? This verse tells us not to be rash with our mouths. And this means that we are to control our mouths and what comes out of them. We are to speak with intention, not impulse. An unguarded tongue often races to voice every fleeting thought. So we must not be hasty to utter anything before God. We must learn to sit still, be quiet, without saying a word for a while, not being rushed to speak. We need to think about who God is. Amen? I want you to picture a person. Their mouth is quiet and they have been sitting still for some time. They've been preparing their heart, gaining control of their mind and their thoughts so they can appear before the sovereign majesty of the universe. They focus their thoughts upon God, the one who is in heaven far above earth. They meditate upon God's sovereignty and his majesty. God is the center of their thoughts. Church, this morning I need you to understand one of the most important things that we can do when we pray is to be still and allow God to speak to us. Slow down in your prayer life. Communication requires both sides, amen? We would never treat our human connections here on earth simply one-sided. And yet too often when we pray, it is one-sided communication. When we are communicating with God, who is holy, righteous, and above all, slow down and learn to be still. Psalm 46, verse 10, God tells us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still here literally means take your hands off and relax. Amen? See, we like to be hands-on people and manage our own lives. But God is God, and we are but his servants. There's a time to obey God and act. But until that time comes, we had better take our hands off and allow him to work in his own time and in his own way. If we seize his promises by faith with both hands, we won't be able to meddle. Amen? So let your words be few. Speak and make your words deliberate. God is holy and the most sovereign ruler in the entire universe, and how we speak to him matters. Amen? You need to make your request just as an obedient son or daughter would petition their honored father. The person who approaches God like this speaks with respect and forethought, with care and with love. They speak few words, straight to the point, all from a prepared heart and mind. So when should the believer spend a long time in prayer? There are special times when extended prayer is necessary. And some of those times are clearly seen in the Scripture. Sometimes a special pull to praise and adore God is felt from within. And when the believer feels this pull, they should get alone and spend a long time praising and worshiping God. After being beaten and thrown into prison, Paul and Silas spent the entire night praying and singing praises to God. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And if you continue on with that account, you see how many lives were changed. Sometimes there is a special need that arises, and this may be the believer's own need or a friend's need. And when this happens, the believer should intercede until God gives the assurance that that need will be met. So let's examine the account that we find in Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him into prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And if you continue on with that account, you will see that Peter was miraculously freed because of the prayers of the church. Sometimes an unusual experience or event has taken place or is about to take place in the believer's life and ministry. And so they should get alone and share that event with God, and they should stay before God until the experience has taken place. And then at times, as believers, we may face a great trial or tribulation and temptations. And a prolonged period of prayer may be necessary to gain strength and resist that trial or temptation. As 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 reminds us, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God. I love verses that have "but God." Amen. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. Similarly, there are times when a matter needs to be worked through or a major decision needs to be made, and so we should seek help and direction from God. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 say, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. No matter what happens in life, God should be acknowledged in all of the believer's ways. And they should remain before God until his answer is given. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. See, prayer is a matter of the heart. It's not simply about words or length. It is a form of sharing. Just as we share our thoughts, our feelings, our praises, and our requests with others, we are called to share the same with God. Prayer is not speaking into the air. It is a personal relationship with God who is always with us. Though God may be invisible or in secret, he is closer than any other person. And his presence should be continually recognized. And unfortunately, the awareness of his presence often fades, especially in long prayers. We can become distracted, allowing our minds to wander from thought to thought. The danger is greater with lengthy prayers, which can lead to insincerity or irreverence, hurting God's heart. And so it's a reminder of how important it is to remain mindful and sincere in our communication with God. There is a clear distinction between the prayers of believers and those of the heathen. While both may pray, Christ warns us that the vain repetition and empty words of the heathen are useless. But the believer, on the other hand, is intimately connected with God because he is their heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Believers pray to God as a child speaks to a loving father, sharing openly from their hearts. As Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7 says, all the labor of man is for their mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. True fulfillment in prayer comes not from mere words, but from a sincere, heartfelt connection to God, our Father, who is always nearby. And the third great rule of prayer is forceful. Trust God. God already knows what your needs are, even before you ask. So you might ask, why should we pray? But the answer is simple. Prayer is an expression of our recognition of our need for God and our dependence upon Him. It is an opportunity for concentrated sharing and communion between the believer and God. See, prayer is not merely a request for what we lack. It is an intimate time of fellowship with our Heavenly Father. It's not enough for believers to carry knowledge of God in their minds as they go about their lives. We must set aside time to be in God's presence, times when we can focus our thoughts on Him and commune with Him. Just as we need time with our friends and our family, we need time with God. Amen? See, man is not meant to live in isolation, either from people or from God. There must be moments when we are in the presence of both, concentrating our thoughts and attention upon God and others. These moments of prayer are not just for meeting needs, but for sharing, fellowshipping, and deepening our relationship with God. See, God already knows our needs, and we don't need to worry about whether or not He will meet those needs. The true concern of the believer should be living in God's presence, taking time to share the fellowship and enjoy His company. This morning, can you say that you enjoy spending time in company with God? Because that's what our prayer lives are. And the more time we spend in prayer, the more we come to know God intimately. The more we come to trust His care and rely on His promises. And as children of God, we can rest in the assurance that our Heavenly Father knows and cares for us. Isaiah 41:10 makes this promise. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on now, somebody else get excited. See, we don't need the strain or pray along thinking that we must convince God to hear us. He already knows our hearts and our needs, and He is eager to respond. Our goal with prayer should be to spend long periods of time in His presence, learning to fellowship with Him, knowing Him deeply. As Jesus assures us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8b, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. What a wonderful promise. Amen? See, we don't pray to inform God, but to share with Him and to grow closer to Him. And Isaiah reminds us in chapter 65, verse 24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear. Hallelujah. God desires to hear and answer our prayers, not because He needs our requests, but because He delights in our fellowships and wants to meet our needs according to His will. So trust in God. He already knows, He already cares, and He is always ready to answer. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39, one of my favorite passages in all of the Scripture. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. See, God has ordained prayer as the medium through which He blesses and moves among men. And so as we reflect on these three foundational rules, these three great rules for prayer, to avoid empty repetition, to speak with purpose rather than excessive words, and to fully trust in God. Let us be encouraged to approach prayer with a sincere heart and a steadfast faith. Remember, prayer is not about impressing God with eloquence or length, but about connecting with Him in truth and humility. Our Heavenly Father longs to hear from us and meet us where we are. So let us commit to making our prayers more intentional, more heartfelt, and more trusting. May we find peace in knowing that God hears us even before we speak. And may our prayer lives grow into powerful expressions of faith and reliance on His grace. Let us go forth today, drawing near to God with boldness and reverence, trusting Him in every word and every moment. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that Your Son, during His ministry on earth, taught us how to pray effectively. Father, this morning, let us each hide these three rules that we find in Your Scripture in our heart. May our words be few, meaningful, and thoughtful. May we learn to fully trust in You no matter what we go through, and help teach us to be still when we need to be still. So Father, we thank You for everything that You pour out upon us, Your mercy and grace that is never ending. And we lift up this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, this morning the altar is open. If there is a need that has weighed heavy on your heart this week and you need somebody to pray with you, come forward. I'd be happy to pray with you. If you simply want to come forward and lay something at the feet of our Savior, do so. Is there any here who need to make a profession of faith or to simply rededicate your life? Now is the time. So I invite you, the altar is open.